Does anyone else ever worry about what other people think in their life, besides teenagers? You know, we always kind of joke about that, and we think about peer pressure, and we think that's something that only those who are younger have to deal with. But if we are honest, as those of us that are a little older than that, actually some of us are a lot like me, I'm a lot older than being a teenager, it's something we all deal with, don't we? We have certain folks that can influence us, and sometimes we act a certain way around certain groups of people that we shouldn't. And those peer pressures impact us, and we get kind of sidetracked from where we should be as followers of Christ and began to listen to the culture around us. And that can even happen in church. Did you know that? Did you know you can get sidetracked from following Jesus in church? Yeah. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't be a part of church. It's just that can happen if we're not careful. We can allow ourselves to get focused on things that are not the most important thing, or actually the most important one. And everything is in our lives as followers of Christ should be focused on our Savior. So we're going to take a moment here and look at just a few verses in Acts chapter 23, give you a chance to find that. Acts chapter 23, verses 1 through 11. And I believe this will be our last time in Acts for a while. We're going to take a break next week. Did you know what happens next Sunday is the Sunday before Thanksgiving? Did you realize that? Yeah, I didn't either. I said, really? Yes, it is, and so we'll have a kind of that focus, and of course, that the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, we'll have our special Thanksgiving service here along with a meal, and I believe it's not turkey. Did I hear that correctly? Yeah, it's something else. We figured you're going to get enough turkey over the Thanksgiving holiday. Anyway, so go ahead and turn your copy of God's Word to Acts chapter 23, verses 1 through 11, and if you would, in honor of reading God's Word, would you stand with me here for just a few moments? All right, Acts chapter 23, verses 1 through 11. And Paul, looking intently at the council, said, "Brethren, I have lived my life with a perfectly good conscience before God up to this day. The high priest Ananias commanded those standing beside him to strike him on the mouth. Then Paul said to them, 'God is going to strike you, you whitewashed wall. You sit to try me according to the law and violation of the law in order me to be struck.' But the bystanders said, 'Do you revile God's high priest?' And Paul said, 'I was not aware, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, you shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people.' And perceiving that one group were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, Paul began crying out to the council, 'Brethren, I am a Pharisee, a son of Pharisees, and I am on trial for the hope and resurrection of the dead.' And he said this, as he said this, there occurred a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. For the Sadducees say there is no resurrection, nor an angel, nor a spirit, but the Pharisees acknowledged them all. And there occurred a great uproar, and some of the scribes of the Pharisaic party stood up and began to argue heatedly, saying, 'We find nothing wrong with this man. Suppose a spirit or angel has spoken to him.' And as a great dissension was developing, the commander was afraid Paul would be torn to pieces by them, and ordered the troops to go down and take him away from them by force, and bring him into the barracks. But on that night immediately following, the Lord stood at his side and said, 'Take courage. For as you have solemnly witnessed to my cause at Jerusalem, you must also witness at Rome as well.'" Would you pray with me, Father? Thank you for your word. Thank you for the testimony of the Apostle Paul, for his willingness to follow you. And Father, we thank you as our opportunity as believers in Jesus Christ in this world we live, that we might demonstrate your love and grace to those around us and might allow your truth to shine through our lives. Bless this time and use it for your purposes, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So we have Paul here in his usual circumstance. We're nearing the end of what's been going on, but he finds himself at a council being drugged before them because he's preaching something they don't want to hear. He's been talking about Jesus, and that frustrates the Jewish leaders at that time. And that frustrates people today as well, doesn't it? We don't mind talking about God. We don't mind talking about, you know, good moral things, but when you start to use the name of Jesus, you begin to create division in our culture. Because people have opinions. Have you noticed that? They have all kinds of opinions. And one of the wonderful things about our current modes of communication is they can express those opinions loudly and boldly and, you know, sincerely. And oftentimes when they express them, just because you're loud and bold doesn't mean you're right. Have you noticed that? What matters is that you are on the side of truth and that you are speaking what God desires to speak in and through your heart and life. And that's where Paul finds himself here. He finds him in the middle of this mess as they're all kind of trying to figure out, "Paul, why are you doing this? Why are you here? Why won't you just leave us alone and be quiet? Paul has been had a calling place in his life. I think we remember this when he was called and set apart by God, when he was met Jesus on the road to Damascus and he began to follow him. He was given a mission. He was told he was going to be a light to the a witness to the Gentiles so that they might know of the love of Christ, that he was going to share the gospel with those outside of his normal group that he spent his time with. People who were not Jews, people who did not understand all the teachings of the law and all the principles and things that he knew quite well. He was set apart to take the gospel to people like me and to like many of you. And because of this, it caused that rift. And we've talked about the rift. We've seen it happen again and again. And we have this situation that kind of just blows up in his face. He's there. He's talking to folks. And yet, he's not really too concerned about it. But he sees an opportunity. And I want to point out a little circumstance. And the reason you say, well, why are you preaching this text? There doesn't seem to be a lot here. And the Holy Spirit knows what's here. But I think there's something really powerful here for us in the church today that we can learn from the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Paul knew them quite well. He knew that they had some disagreements. Now, we have factions in the church today, don't we? Let's be honest. We have people that see it one way and people that see it another. We have pastors that would, you know, pray for the convention, by the way. That starts this week. It actually starts tonight for the Baptist Convention of Maryland, Delaware. I'll be going to that meeting tomorrow morning and hanging out and getting to, it'll be my first annual meeting outside the state of Missouri. It's kind of, I'm excited about it, looking forward to it. So kind of go and share that and see what's going on. But pray for them that we would be focused on the task that God has given us as followers of Christ. Because sometimes in meetings like that, we can get distracted. That's right. Very true. We can get distracted as well in the church with our call and our purpose and our focus on what God has called us to do. With all that culture has going on around it, we can pick and choose little elements. And man, I saw a pastor the other day on TV and it broke my heart because he was focused on something that really wasn't important and he was completely missing the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what happens when you end up on one of the major news networks doing an interview. It's never good. But our focus has to be pointing people to Christ. That's who it's all about, isn't it? It's not about my political persuasion. It's not about my points of view. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. And that was really where Paul's heart was. That was his desire. And he's trying to help these brothers understand that. But he sees that they're kind of struggling with some things, and they're not very happy with him. So he points them to a distraction they have. You see, there were two parties in the Jewish culture. You see, it was kind of political, believe it or not. You had the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees, we'll say, were the more, they interpreted the Bible literally. They believed that there would be a resurrection. They believed in angels. They believed in spirits and demons and things like that. And then there were the Sadducees. And the Sadducees didn't believe in any of those things. They thought those things were merely symbolic. Even the resurrection itself wasn't a real event. It was more of what happened in your life while you were here. And it's all kinds of fun stuff that they believe. They just weren't, you know, so you had these two groups. And so what does Paul do? He sees these two groups fighting and arguing towards him. Their anger is pointed at him. They want to kill him. And so he then points to the point of division. Now, Paul, we know, was a Pharisee before he was a follower of Christ. And so he knew the teachings of the Pharisees quite well, and he also knew of the teaching of the resurrection. And so he begins to tell the people there, well, they're upset with me because I'm teaching the resurrection. I'm a Pharisee. And of course, when he says that, the Sadducees in the room, and there are many, they get a little upset, and there starts to be this arguing back and forth, and no longer are they focused on Paul, they're focused on one another. Sound familiar? We can get so, sometimes in the church even, we can get so focused on issues. Now, I'm not saying the resurrection is not a significant issue. It is. It's why we're here today. You understand that. It's why we meet on Sunday and not on another day of the week. It's why we gather together because of the resurrection of our Savior. But the resurrection of the dead, that principle and the other teachings that he got into, the spirits and all those kind of things, while are significant, they're not the most important thing. He got them distracted by focusing them on something that wasn't as essential as the main thing. And they bought it and fell into it completely, didn't they? To the point where it says here in the text, they were arguing, yelling, and shouting at one another. What does that sound like? Some say a Baptist business meeting. I hope not. But anyway, it was getting kind of crazy in the room. It was getting so violent and so anger-filled that a Roman soldier that was with Paul got concerned for Paul's safety. So it must have been bad. This wasn't your regular business meeting argument. This was pretty intense. There were things being said. There was anger. There was threats probably being made. Who knows what all was being done? Enough that a soldier, I mean, we're not talking about somebody that had, you know, got kind of gun-shy, just any little thing, but who understood danger, takes Paul away for fear that he will be killed. But I think of that whole situation, I think how, it was a little bit sneaky of Paul to do that, but also reminds us how often sometimes the enemy works in our midst, doesn't it? He gets us focused on things that aren't as important as the main thing. And whenever he leads us in that path where our focus and our direction is all about what matters most to us, our pet issue, whatever that is, and I'm not going to start saying what it is, you know, listen to him, you can figure that out. I think you're smart enough to do that. And we're not focused on what he has sent us to do, then we get distracted. And then as a body of believers, we get divided. Can you imagine what the Church of Jesus Christ could be like in this nation alone if we were focused on what we're supposed to be focused on? If we had one heart, one mind, one mission to share the gospel and to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, to just tell others and make disciples as we're told to by our Savior, what if that was our primary focus and everything else we pushed into the back and we said, we're going to do this and we're going to join hands together across the aisle, across the denomination, whatever it is, and focus our hearts and minds on our Savior and we're going to do it together. Can you imagine the difference that would make in our culture? It'd be transforming, wouldn't it? Be transformative for the church, be transformative for our world. I think part of the thing that a lot of people struggle with is they look at followers of Christ, they look at the church, and I've heard this from people when I've shared with them, is like, why is the church so divided? Why are there so many denominations? Well, you know, you get three Baptists in a room, you got four opinions. It's just that way, isn't it, for people? We can easily divide ourselves. We get into camps. We see it in the New Testament. We see it in the book of Acts. There was a thing earlier, I don't know if we've got to it yet, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos. You know, they got into those kind of, we do that so easily. We get distracted. We get focused on minor things rather than on the thing that matters most. And what matters most? Jesus and the gospel of Christ that he proclaims to us. The salvation of humanity that comes through Christ and Christ alone. The message that God gave us. To make disciples, that is our focus, that is our calling, that is our mission, and that's what we as a church have to be about. Amen. Everything else we do, there are a lot of good things, and we do a lot of good things here, don't we? And there's nothing wrong with them. But if anything distracts us from the mission, that's what it is, a distraction. You see, oftentimes, the devil doesn't use really bad things to distract us. Have you noticed that? He uses good or okay things to distract us from the mission. Just a little diversion, something a little bit off to get us focused away from where we want to be. Have you ever noticed how hard it is to pray for a long time? Anybody else with? I mean, let's be honest. I mean, it is for me. I'm your pastor. I'm going to just tell you. It's hard sometimes just to spend time in prayer, just to stay focused, because I don't know how you are. Maybe I don't think I have ADD, but maybe I did one time. I don't know. And my mind starts wandering all these places and I get so distracted. And it seems to happen the most when I try to focus and spend time in prayer is when my distractions come. It's like the enemy comes with all these different thoughts and minds in my head and tries to pull me away. Why? Because that is the most important time any of us can spend as followers of Christ. The Church of Jesus Christ is most effective on the mission when we are most focused on our Savior and we are on our knees. It is prayer that is our greatest weapon against the enemy. We a lot of times look at prayer as something, well, that's something we have to do. You know, we got to have prayer before meals. We got to have a prayer before the service. But prayer is where the enemy is taken on. It's combat. It's spiritual warfare. Because we are facing the enemy on spiritual grounds. We are facing him there, and he will try to stop you because he does not want you to engage with the eternal God of the universe, knowing that if you engage with the Father and you allow the Father to speak to you, the Father will change you, transform you, and begin to help you see the things the way they are and know how to speak and pray as God desires you to, as the Holy Spirit empowers you and uses you. That's what he's afraid of. He is more afraid of a church on her knees than a church with 10,000 in attendance. I'm not saying you don't want to try and have a lot of folks here. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is He wants us to not be focused on what matters. And this isn't a message about prayer. This is a message about the mission. The mission is pretty simple, isn't it? I don't know why it's easy for me and you to get distracted, but we do, don't we? There's a lot of things that lead us away. We get focused on politics. We get focused on modes and styles and all this other stuff when the mission is to draw people, is to point people to Christ. That's our role. Now, the Holy Spirit is the one that will draw them to Christ. I don't have that ability. I cannot convince anyone to become a follower of Christ. Because if I can talk them into something, somebody else can talk them out of it. But what I can do and what you can do is we point them with the Word of God, with the gospel, with our life, and we point them to Jesus. And we try to encourage them on that path to begin to have that relationship with the Savior. And when they have that relationship with the Savior, then the good stuff starts. Then our job really begins, actually. Because then we try to equip them. That's what discipleship is. We equip them in understanding what it means to be a follower of Christ, how to grow and all those things. And that's more than I have time to get into this morning. But it's so easy to get distracted. A few years ago, Tom Rainer, I don't know if you know who that is. He's the director of Lifeway. He and a guy, Eric, I can't remember Eric's name. Now, I thought it'll come to me later. But he and a young man at Lifeway, they wrote a book called Simple Church. You might have heard of it. It kind of took Protestantism by storm across denominational bounds. It was very basic, very simple, but it also caused a lot of division when churches tried to put it into practice. Because Simple Church, basically, its focus is this. The focus of the Church of Jesus Christ is the Great Commission. As you're going, make disciples of all nations. That is our focus. Everything that does not lead us to that focus needs to be put on the side. If we're not, any activity, any approach that we're doing that's not leading us to make disciples is not essential. How do you think that went over in most local churches? Yeah, I heard a few chuckles back. It didn't go over well. It got some guys fired. But it was still the truth. And why was that? Because we get all sorts of things in our lives. Also, they're good things that distract us from the truth. And you see, they were struggling. Here Paul used two good things, or some things, to distract this group to help himself out. But much like the Pharisees and the Sadducees in the church today, we get focused on other things. And my prayer so much for the meeting this week and the meetings that go across the land as groups get together, because I've been to a lot of convention meetings, at least in Missouri, and I've been around a lot of, I've been to meetings, folks, I'll be honest with you, where my heart was broken and I had to walk out of. Because of the hatred, the harshness, the lack of Christ-likeness that was in that room, or the way that things were said and done, did not point me to God. And I was so thankful that I was hoping there were no non-believers in the room. Because if anyone had seen that, they would never want to come to Christ and be like us. That's why it's so important that we focus our hearts and lives on our Savior. Because as we focus our hearts and lives on Him, He guides us, He tempers us, He enables us to see what the mission is. And the mission is to make disciples, to point others to Christ. Does that make sense? Or am I just talking out of my head here? I hope I'm making sense. It's pretty simple. I know, and I've told you that before. I'm a pretty simple guy. I was watching a YouTube video, and those are dangerous, I know. And it was interesting because it had, I don't know if you've heard of Prager University, that's kind of these videos that are out there. The guy that started that, I can't remember his Dennis something, I can't remember his last name, really smart guy. And Ravi Zacharias, extremely smart guy. And Jeff Foxworthy were in the room together, and I thought that was a great combination. I don't know if you know, Jeff Foxworthy is a strong follower of Christ. He's a believer. And they were all talking about, and they were speaking to a bunch of college students at this institution, and I don't know how, there were several thousand people gathered in this room. And they had said a lot of things, but Robbie closed it, was kind of coming, drawing to the end. I remember what he said. He told a story of where he was speaking, I believe at Columbia University. And not a bastion of conservative Christianity, by the way. And he was speaking, and all these people were there. And at the end of it, a young lady came up to him, and she was in high school and had been accepted into Columbia. She was a junior in high school, and she was really smart. And she said, you know, I came here as a skeptic. I came here looking for ways to poke holes in all this Christianity stuff. And then I heard you, and it really wasn't what you said that changed me. It was the way you said it. Did you catch that? She said, I saw it tempered with love, with compassion. I saw people very belligerent towards you, and yet you responded with kindness and grace. And that moved me. Now, she wasn't willing to say she was a believer, but she was willing to say she was going to consider this now. And I believe, folks, that is so much a part of what we are as followers of Christ. It's not just what we say and what we do, but how we say it and how we do it. What's our focus? What is our purpose? Is everything focused upon seeing others come to Christ, upon making sure wherever we are the kind of witness we need to be? Not by our own strength or power, but by trusting by the Holy Spirit working through us, that we're going to allow Him to work in us, even when it's uncomfortable. Do you think this situation was comfortable for the Apostle Paul? I doubt it. All through the book of Acts, we've seen him in a lot of tough situations. And believe me, as the book goes on, it doesn't get any easier. And yet, his focus, and it wasn't because Paul was really a great guy and really knew how to get out of a mess. That wasn't it. It was the Holy Spirit's work in changing him and enabling him to understand that the situation that he found himself in wasn't about him, but it was part of something bigger, a plan that God had. And the same is true for us in the church today. Now, I'm going to say something that might sound kind of weird for a pastor to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's not about South End Baptist Church. It's not. It's not about the Baptist Convention of Maryland, Delaware. It's not about the Southern Baptist Convention. It's not about the International Mission Board or the North American Mission Board or any of those things. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Christ. It's all about pointing others to Him. And every one of those organizations and this church, our purpose and our focus is to point others to Christ. That's the major. That's the focus. That's where we should direct all our energy and our attention is upon that task, whatever that looks like. And we have opportunities every day for that. Whether you're at work or school or out at the grocery store or wherever you are, you have opportunities as you rub shoulders with folks to show Christ's love in some very tangible and meaningful and powerful ways. Because a lot of times we think of missions as something that happens on the other side of the planet. But what does that sign say above the door behind you? Turn around and look. Yes, I'm going to tell you. Turn around and look. What does that sign say? So where's the mission field? It's outside these four walls, isn't it? It's right out there. That's where the mission field begins. And you are a missionary if you're a follower of Christ. Did you know that? It's not an option. It's not a box you check, say, okay, I'll do this, and I'll be a missionary. No, you're immediately, as a follower of Christ, sent apart as a missionary for the gospel of Jesus. And that doesn't mean you have to learn to speak a foreign language. It doesn't mean you have to travel to a far-off land. Many do. But what it does mean is you have to be a faithful witness where God has placed you and allow His life, His purposes, to be the focus of your life. And as you do that, brothers and sisters, as you allow the Holy Spirit to temper you, to use you in ways that you may have never thought possible, He will change not only you, but He will change others. And He will give you opportunities you didn't have before. And those things that we call interruptions are often divine appointments, aren't they? And I don't like interruptions. Anybody else with me on that one? I got things to do. I ain't got time for that. Well, God says, too bad. I got things to do, and you got time for it. But what He tells me, you will have time. It's just an interesting journey we find ourselves on. And I'm reminded of that last verse in chapter 23. After all that Paul's been through and all these things he's been taken apart, he's told by the Savior. He sees the Lord at his sides, and what does Jesus say to him? He says, take courage, for as you have solemnly witnessed my cause in Jerusalem, so you must be a witness at Rome as well. I'm not done with you, Paul. This is not the end of your life. I have more for you to do. Be faithful, and I will use you. And is it any different for you and me? If you are still breathing, God has a purpose for your life. And that purpose is to bring glory to Himself and to exalt Jesus. That's what it's all about. So what are you and I doing with that? Are we allowing other things to get in the way? It's easy to do. Distractions are many. Doesn't take much to get this guy distracted. I'm just telling you, I'm easy to distract. Or are we staying focused on the task that He's given us? As Paul talks in another text, putting everything else aside so that I might focus on the cause of the Savior. Would you pray with me, Father? Thank you for your word. Thank you for the testimony and the life of the apostle as he speaks to us and reminds us, Father, of who you are and what you've done. May our focus as a church body, as followers of Jesus Christ, be completely and fully upon the gospel. May it be all about what you desire to do in us. Keep us on mission, that others may come to know and experience the life-transforming change that comes in knowing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.